Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God to discover truth. Anytime we go into the Word of God, that is where we can find a truth. Christ himself declared that he is the Word of God, and he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how wonderful it is, you know, that anytime we read the Bible, we know it is true. We may not understand it, we may not like it, whatever it may be, but the fact is, it is true. And that goes a long ways in keeping our trust in the Bible altogether, that it is the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. Now, we've been looking at Jeremiah 7, as we're slowly on mending our path through the book of Jeremiah. A book that is not often studied, not very well understood, right in the center of the Bible, a big book. We call Jeremiah one of the major prophets. He's called a major prophet along with Isaiah and Ezekiel, simply because his prophecy is very large compared with Hosea's or Nahum or Obadiah, or some of the minor, we call those the minor prophets. It isn't as if God has put Jeremiah on a higher level than Obadiah, but it's simply, or Amos or Micah, it is simply that God had a lot more to tell us through Jeremiah than he did some of the other prophecies. But nevertheless, everything in the Bible is the Word of God and is of equal importance. Now, we've come to Jeremiah 7, and in our last study, we were admonished in verse 4. In verse 4, trust not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these, and so on. Now, and we learned, of course, that this really is a statement that is getting right at one of the major problems of the Christian religion today. As a matter of fact, it's a problem of every religion. Because where is man's trust, finally, in the religions of the world? It's in that religion. I am a Buddhist because I know the Buddhist religion is the very best. I'm a Hindu because I have trusted what the Hindu teachers teach. It has the best answers for me. I am a Christian because and as a matter of fact, I go to a Roman Catholic church, or I go to a Mormon church, or I go to a Baptist church, or a Presbyterian church, or a Reformed church, whatever it may be. I go there because I trust in what they are teaching. They are the most accurate in the Word of God. This always has amazed me all through my lifetime. How can you find true believers in different denominations holding contrary understanding of important doctrines of the Bible, like baptism in the Lord's table and just a whole lot of other things, how to become saved and so on. And if you're a Baptist, you understand this. If you're a Roman Catholic, you understand that. If you are a Reformed person, you understand the other thing. If you are Episcopalian, you have a different idea. And everyone is convinced we have the truth. Now, if they all have the truth, they're all the Christian religion, it would simply mean that they would all be in agreement, because truth is one piece. Only the Bible is true. Only when it can stand the most careful scrutiny and inspection from the Bible and pass on it, be found guiltless, do we really have truth. But the fact is, this is exactly what man's trust has been, is in the church. In the church. And as we learned, this is why an enormously great number of people who are very faithful in their church attendance, very committed to their denomination, very convinced that they love the Lord and that they are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, actually are trusting in their church, in the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This is what they are trusting in rather than in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that the Bible is our authority and only authority, the ultimate authority. Anything our church teaches has to be put under the searchlight, under the magnifying glass of the Bible to discover, is it really true? And consequently, if we find that a teaching is not quite as biblical as it sounds at the beginning, then we are to reject it, and then we are running contrary to what our church teaches on that particular matter. And that's where the fireworks begin. Who are we trusting, in Christ or the church? Now, God gives a remedy. And as you remember in our last study, even though the book of Jeremiah is really speaking to us today when there is no remedy any longer, and as we go a little bit farther, we will find that there is no remedy because the die has been cast, the end of the church age has come. But on the other hand, we have to remember this has been in the Bible for 2,000 years, and all scripture is profitable for teaching and for correction and for admonition and so on. And so as this has been read, these verses are read throughout the history of the world, throughout the history of the existence of the Bible. They are words that could encourage people to turn, because there is hope. And so we're going to go on in verse 5. For if ye thoroughly, and that means completely, amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly, that is completely, execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Now, the immediate reaction, typical reaction of anyone reading this is, oh, then I better examine my way of life, how I stand before God, and I have to correct this and correct that. I have to make sure that I'm worshiping only God. I have to make sure that I am faithful to whatever this is teaching, and we'll kind of develop that in a moment. I must be righteous before God. And then God promises me that there's something that is everlastingly good that will come to me. I will dwell in this place. What place? We'll find out. Forever and ever. The problem is that nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. This, again, is a test. This is a test. Just the way God puts the language. If you will do all these things. The fact is, if we read this honestly, as a child of God who has been broken before the Word of God, we realize, no, I can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. Lord, you're saying, if we'll only do these things, then everything is going to be well. But the fact is, I can't do these things that well. Because if there's any slip-up, even the slightest slip-up, then it's going to end up that I'm still under judgment. And of course there are going to be slip-ups, because I'm not a perfect being. And so right at that point, it should cause us to break before God and say, oh, now, wait a minute, Lord. Yes, you are saying what it ought to be, but it's impossible. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. We wait upon thee. And that should be the first reaction that we come to as we look at this. But let's look at, see what God is asking. And at least, if we have become saved, If we have become saved, then we will be doing these things as a good work, as a product, as a result of the fact that we have become saved. Therefore, God has not just placed these statements here to say, you see, it's impossible for you to do anything at all. They're also placed here in order that we might have a yardstick, that we might have a plumb line whereby to measure our behavior. Is there evidence in my life that I am a child of God because I find I have an earnest desire to do this and to do that? If ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. Now that's puzzling language. Are we in this world simply to administer justice as we see two people quarreling, a man and his neighbor, and we somehow are to come and straighten out the difficulty? And the answer is no, that's not our appointment at all. God has given the political authorities to rule. He has placed judges in places and courts where people can be their offenses can be adjudicated properly. But what then is this talking about? We have to know it's talking about something spiritual, this curious language, execute judgment or to do judgment. Actually, the word judgment could be justice, to do justice between a man and his neighbor. Now, where is the real contention in the world between what man and what neighbor? Where is the real problem that people are having in this world? Where is the contention between the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peoples of the world? That is where the contention is. That is where justice has to be administered. Everyone is in deep trouble, that is, before they are saved. They are in deep trouble with Christ because they have rebelled against Christ. So how can we do justice? Well, you know, God has a plan of justice where God's justice